Earth, sky.
So NASA currently has over a dozen Earth-observing satellites in orbit, and many of these provide instruments that can tell us about cloud properties. And AQUA, which is one of the large Earth-observing system missions, is a prime example.
You're listening to NASA satellite researcher Stephen Platnick, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Platnick is on the science team for NASA's AQUA mission, which studies clouds as part of its observations. Dr. Platnick spoke about clouds and their net effect on Earth's climate with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Platnick, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you very much.
Now, when scientists speak of climate today in 2010, what do they mean?
Well, when scientists talk about climate, what we're talking about is the statistics of weather. And normally we're talking about that on multi-decadal timescales and longer, even centuries and millennium. An example might be the average surface temperature, something that most people can relate to, or also the minimum and maximum surface temperatures over the course of the day. And there's other examples. Precipitation, the amount of rainfall during a month, or snowfall, or snowpack. But when we talk about recent climate change and the causes of recent climate change, and that's over the last several decades, including the last couple of centuries since the start of the Industrial Revolution, then we start to study the effect of human activities and how humans can directly modify climate. And there's several ways that humans can directly impact climate. And I think the best understood and certainly from what we know now is likely the most important in the long run is the release of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. And that includes not just carbon dioxide, but methane, ozone, there's other gases as well. And these greenhouse gases perturb the radiation balance of climate. And what they do is move the climate system to a warmer state. And it does that because of the way the gases reduce the emissions of infrared radiation to space by the Earth and its atmosphere. And this so-called greenhouse gas forcing on the climate system is well understood. But what is less well understood is how the climate responds to this forcing. And that is the focus of much climate modeling research today. It's certainly the motivation behind many of NASA's satellite observations and the modeling studies we do. And that's, in fact, what a large part of my own work involves.
Tell us about your research with clouds. How do clouds, in all their varieties, low and high in the atmosphere, affect Earth's climate?
There are two separate, rather distinct questions there. The first one is, how do clouds affect our current climate? And that's, in fact, a relatively easy answer compared to the second question, which is how clouds will respond to a warming climate. And to answer both, we need to understand that clouds, unlike greenhouse gases, can provide either a warming or a cooling effect. And the warming effect is similar in principle to the way greenhouse gases work. In the part of the atmosphere where our weather occurs, it gets colder as you go higher in altitude. And the higher in altitude you go, the clouds are, of course, colder in response to that. And a colder object, in this case a cloud, emits less heat energy to space than when it's lower in the atmosphere and warmer. And so high and cold clouds inhibit the ability of the Earth to emit this heat radiation to space. And this ultimately inhibits the ability of the Earth to cool itself, and therefore high and cold clouds act to warm the Earth. But opposite to that, you have a cooling effect. And I think that's something everyone can understand. You can appreciate that if you go out on a hot and sunny day and a cloud passes by overhead, it's a great relief from the heat. And the reason, of course, is because the cloud is reflecting sunlight. And at the same time, that means that less sunlight is available to reach us on the surface and heat us up. And this cooling doesn't depend on the height of the cloud, but it depends on other properties that affect how reflective or how bright the cloud is. So we have these two offsetting effects, a warming and a cooling effect that clouds can present. And where satellites come in is to try to understand what balance lies between those two. And there are a number of pieces of information that we need to know. We need to know the height or the temperature of the cloud, as we've already discussed. We need to know the amount of cloud. We sometimes refer to that as cloud fraction or the cloud cover. If you stand on the ground on some days, it's overcast. Other days, there's no clouds or zero cloud fraction, and there's this continuum in between. We need to know how the properties of the clouds are and how they relate to how reflective or bright a cloud is, or how well they emit infrared heat radiation. We need to know whether clouds are made up of liquid or ice particles. We need to know how much water the clouds contain. And we need to know the vertical structure in the atmosphere of all these properties. And so that's where the satellites come in order to try to understand what the properties of clouds are and to try to derive from that this trade-off between the warming and cooling influence.
Tell us about the work of NASA's Aqua satellite and how it's used to study clouds.
Well, for all those cloud properties I mentioned, the most important thing to trying to understand their effect on global climate is we need to know how they're globally distributed and how they vary over the course of a year. Let's say their seasonal distribution. So you have this very large space and time scale, and you really need satellites to obtain the statistics over those scales. It's really impossible for most of those quantities to get the same statistics from ground-based or aircraft observations. So NASA currently has over a dozen Earth-observing satellites in orbit, and many of these provide instruments that can tell us about cloud properties. And Aqua, which is one of the large Earth-observing system missions, is a prime example. And it has the capability of observing all those cloud properties. And it does it with instruments that provide measurements over a variety of what we would refer to as spectral wavelengths. It provides measurements in the solar reflectance part of the spectrum, provides measurements in the infrared. The MODIS instrument that I work with in particular has moderate spatial resolution of a few hundred meters and higher, and allows you to look at the structural details of clouds. We also depend heavily on the AIRS instrument, and this provides many thousands of spectral channels in the infrared. And it's sort of like tuning your radio or your television to very high spectral resolution that gives you more information than broader coverage. The Ceres instrument provides the most broadband coverage, and that's used to really understand these radiative balances that I talked to before, the infrared cooling versus the solar effect. And we also have microwave instruments, and these can be used to detect both water and precipitation, both, of course, very important for understanding clouds. And one in particular is the AMSR-E instrument, and that comes with a partnership from the Japanese who built the instrument and is flying on our NASA satellite. In addition to that, we also use data from other satellites in addition to Aqua. And we fly Aqua as a part of a constellation of satellites, and we refer to that constellation, that grouping of satellites that fly together, as the A-train, and the A just implies that it makes observations in the afternoon. And we have a variety of instruments on the A-train that we use in conjunction with Aqua instruments, and that includes radars, LIDARs, which are the equivalent of radars but using lasers. We have partnerships with the French involving that LIDAR, and an AMSR-E instrument follow-on that the Japanese will build for us, and that will fly in the A-train constellation in the next year or two as well.
You've been listening to Stephen Platnick, a senior project scientist for NASA's Earth Observing System. Our thanks today to NASA's Aqua mission, improving our knowledge of our home planet through satellite observations. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.